Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In May of 2006, I preached a message called The Religion of the Antichrist. And in that message, I stated that it was very possible that it could be some form or blend of Islam, which as one of its tenets of faith is God has no son, denying the divinity of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, that could become the religion of the Antichrist. In August of 2007, I preached a message called The Coming Apostasy, in which I spoke of the prophecies of St. Malachi in 1139 A.D., in which he revealed a long list of popes who would rule the Roman Catholic Church until, as he stated, the end of time. And in that prophecy, he stated there would be 111 popes, and that Pope number 112 would be the apostate pope who would lead the Catholic Church into apostasy. By the way, we're on Pope number 111 right now. St. Francis Assisi in 1226 stated, there will be an uncanonically elected pope who will cause a great schism. Several other important leaders in the Catholic Church in times past have made similar prophecies that there would be a time coming when someone would come to power within the Roman Church that would cause a great division. I also mentioned in these other sermons that Islam and Catholicism has some similarities in who they worship as saints and how they believe certain things. And so it would make it very easy, I feel, for the two to possibly come together at some point and blend together. I never really considered the aspect of Protestantism into that. And as God has been speaking to me this week, I want to bring now what is happening in the world today that's already taking place that is bringing the great apostasy or the apostate church into being. Now, I know some folks who may hear this may look back on message here and see if these two messages were there, but that was before we went on message here, and they're not available on it for that reason. Well, I want to update you some of the things that are going on today, though. What's happening in the world right now that is bringing about the great apostasy that the Bible foretold would come into being in the last days? And believe me, it's here already. Last week, I gave a handout to some of you folks that were here, and I know some of you read it for sure, and it kind of got some folks a little stirred up. But I want to talk today about a new thing that's on the world scene today, Chrislam. And it appears that this heresy, known as Chrislam, first appeared in the country of Nigeria, and of course, we all recognize and think about Nigeria with the scams that go around, particularly now on the internet. It used to be through the mail. Now it's on the internet, you know, where you get an email that states, I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to leave you $10 million. Just send me all your personal information, you know. And I think most people, unfortunately not all, but most people have gotten wise to this and don't reply to these things like they used to. But it was founded in the country of Nigeria in 1980 by a man named Tela Tela. And it's spelled T-E-L-A, the first name, and the last name, T-E-L-L-A. Now, Mr. Tela claims that an angel of God came to him and told him that he gave him the mission and the name, and I can't pronounce this name in Nigerian, but it means the will of God mission, and that he was to draw Christianity and Islam together. Then there comes along another man who named, and he calls himself Prophet Dr. Samson Saka in 1999. And he stated that after making a pilgrimage to Mecca, that he was inspired by God to make peace between Christians and Muslims. Now I want to make a statement right here. I'm not against every person who is of the Islamic faith. There's some nice folks out there, and they're not all radical folks. So I don't want anyone to construe that I'm saying this, that everybody that follows after Islam or that's a Muslim is a terrorist. No, I don't believe so. In fact, the vast majority are not. There are some very nice folks out there. But there is that group that's radical. And their goal is to world domination by Islam. And by the way, and Mary and I were talking about this on the way into church this morning, Christianity went through a somewhat similar stage back during the Crusades, where people who went out and did horrendous, ungodly, abominable things in the name of Christianity. They were radicals. And most of them were not born-again Christians. In fact, none of them were that did these things, because a born-again Christian would not have done those things. But there are a lot of people today even that claim to be Christian, and we all know that, who are Christian in name only, and they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, there are a lot of Muslims out there today that are really not what we would call hardcore radical type Muslims. But there is that group out there, and their goal is world domination by Islam. Well, Chrislam uses both the Bible and the Quran and sees them both as holy texts. And during the worship service, verses are read from both the Bible and the Quran. And according to Ebenezer Adashim, a man who worshiped with the Chrislamatic people, there was no friction between the two religions, and both texts were accepted by the congregation as true. Now, that's an interesting point, because if you sit down and you read both texts, there is definite conflict in those texts. In the Bible, it says one thing, and in the Quran, it says something that's totally the opposite in many cases. Yes, there are texts in both that are true, especially when it goes into the Old Testament, and they talk about some of the things of Abraham, and they quote some of the stuff just the same as it was in the Bible here, but that's because they're going back historically. So they go on. The people of the congregation also are free to shout out, Allah! Or God in worship. And there are many people believe that Allah is the name of God. Allah is a name of a God. Did you hear me? Allah is the name of a God. Yahweh, Jehovah, is the name of the God that we serve. He is the God of the Bible. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus is His Son. It is Jehovah God, Yahweh God. And that's why over the last few years I got into a habit of calling Him Yahweh God, because I want people to know which God I'm speaking about. There are a lot of gods out there in the world today, and I want you to know who I'm talking about when I'm talking about God. You go back to the Ten Commandments, and it says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's telling us right there that there's a lot of other false gods out there, a lot of other pretenders to the throne. And you know, it's when you get into a monarchy, there's always pretenders to the throne. Satan was a pretender to the throne. He wanted to take over the throne and dethrone God, and he wanted to sit on that throne. But Yahweh God is God omnipotent. He is God all-powerful. He is the God, the King of the universe, and He is the God we serve. Yahweh God. The Chrislamatic, I almost said charismatic, forgive me, charismatic people, I didn't mean that. Chrislamatic people believe that Muhammad, Moses, and Jesus were all great prophets, and we need to love them all. Let's just love one another, you know. And, you know, some of the kids' programs they had on TV, and, you know, Mr. Rogers, for example, about how love your neighbor and stuff like this, you know. Well, this is kind of the thing they want to put in. Let's just all love together. You know, Rodney King, some of you may not recognize that name, but there was a big riot in Southern California a number of years ago, and it all started because the police stopped a man by the name Rodney King. And some things transpired there that maybe shouldn't have transpired, but it sparked a riot. And one of the statements that Rodney King made was, can't we just all get along? Well, it's true. We need to get along. as far as our relationship with one another, and we don't need to be fighting one another and things like that. But when it comes down to the matters of the faith and what we believe and who we believe in, there are times that you're not going to get along. Because you've got to take a stand and say what's right is what's right. And what's wrong is what's wrong. And there are a lot of people that want to take the Bible today and they want to pull pages out because they don't agree with something on there and say, well, let's forget about this. Well, this thing here, the Bible says it's sin, but I don't believe it's sin, so let's rip that page out. Well, we can't get along like that. We got to stand for what the truth is. Okay. You say, well, yeah, but Chrislam, that's in Nigeria. That's in Africa. Long ways from here. Well, listen up, folks. It's in America, too. And you might be surprised by who's helping to promote it. A recent article by Dr. Paul L. Williams, Quran in the Pews, which I handed you an article the other day, he mentions congregations in Houston, Atlanta, Seattle, and Detroit recently preached sermons and held Sunday school lessons on the founder of Islam and placed Korans in the pews next to the Bibles. So you say, well, we need to have a knowledge about Islam. Yes, we do. But this does not give us a right to blend the two together. This does not give us a mandate to say, okay, well, because we need to know a little bit about Islam, we need to know what's out there and what we're facing. That's true. I'm forgetting which general it was that said, you need to know your enemy. I believe it was MacArthur. But we need to know our enemy, and sometimes we need to know what we're talking about. So yes, we need some insight into it, but we do not blend the two, because the two are not and never will be compatible. And you ask any radical Muslim out there, and he's going to agree with you. That the two are not compatible. They may tell you on the surface that it is, and we can blend it together, but deep down in their hearts, they know the two are not compatible. So, you'd say, well, what was wrong with this? Well, the proponents of the movement in America, as well as other parts of the world, claim Christians cannot love their neighbors without having a relationship with them. Grace Fellowship Church in Atlanta, Georgia, has this quote, and they're one of the people into Chrislam, has this quote on their website, and I copied it directly from their website last night. Malcolm X said, and who was Malcolm X? He was one of the founders of the Nation of Islam in America. Malcolm X said, "We are brothers. We are a family of God. Not one of us is better than the other in his eyes. He loves us both. The future can only be won against the evil one by all of us standing strong together." And they use this statement to justify the promotion of Chrislam. Chrislam, that mixture of Christianity and Islam. But as I said, the two are not compatible. I also mentioned last week that there were several mega churches mentioned in Dr. Williams' article. And if I were to name them here, the pastors of those churches, everyone here would know their name. And by the way, I thought it was kind of interesting, and it was not mentioned in his article, but the fact is that both of these mega churches have run into financial trouble just recently too. One had to raise a huge amount of money to stay afloat. The other filed for bankruptcy. But they're promoting this heretical doctrine called Chrislam. Today's message is titled, "The Apostate Church." Well, what does the dictionary have to say about apostasy? What is the meaning of this word, apostasy? And it simply means a falling away. The common classical use of the word has to do with a political defection. And you can use scriptures, and you might want to write these down. Genesis 14:4, 2 Chronicles 13:6, Acts chapter 5, verse 37. However, in the New Testament, it's more usually meaning a religious defection. Acts chapter 21, verse 21 talks about, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, which says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That's apostasy. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, and lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Anytime we begin to depart from God's word and we begin to go against what God's word and we begin to teach other things that are not in God's word, we are bordering and going into apostasy. This is called apostasy from the faith, a secession from the church, and the disowning of the name of Christ. Some of the particular characteristics are mentioned, such as seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, hypocritical lying, a seared conscience, forbidding of marriage and of meats, and form of godliness without power. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." There are a lot of churches out there today, even here in America, that have that form of godliness, but they do not have the power thereof. And it says we are to turn away from them. To get away from them, have nothing to do with them. Well, brother, how can you be a Christian and turn your back on your brother? I got news for you. If they're not walking in God's pathway, if they're not following God's word, they are not your brother. We are part of the family of God. Those of us here that are born again Christians, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible tells us we are brothers and sisters together. But that one who is not following after God, that is only following one other person, and that's the enemy, that is Satan, and he is not our brother. And I know there's one church out there that says Satan is Jesus' brother, and that's another apostasy. That's another lie from the pits of hell. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. The grave nature of apostasy is shown by such passages as found in Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." I tell you, folks, when you get into apostasy, you are walking on dangerous and deadly ground. The Bible says there's one unforgivable sin, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, when you begin to walk into apostasy, you're starting to get into that point of sinning against the Holy Spirit. When you are denying the things of God and you are denying the power of God, you are walking on dangerous ground. And there will come a time when there'll be no return from it. 2 Peter 15:21 and 15:22 go on to talk about that. Apostasy, according to the dictionary, as the act of a professed Christian who knowingly and deliberately rejects revealed truth regarding the deity of Christ. 1 John 14:4-3. And verse 1 just says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The world is filled with false prophets today. So if they are denying the deity of Christ, they have fallen into apostasy. It goes on to say, "And redemption through his atoning sacrifice." 3:18 and 2 Peter 2:1, which reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction." The Bible has said there will come a time, there is be an apostasy in the church, a great falling away, folks. And I believe we're living and entering into that time right now. Yes, there's some debate among folks as to when the rapture will take place and whether it'll be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever. But I've got news. We are living in that day when the Bible is being fulfilled and we're getting close to the hour no matter which way you look at it. I'm not going to argue with somebody whether it's pre-trib or mid-trib. I'd argue probably if you said post-trib. But I got news for you. We are living in those last days, and there's only a few years difference between the two thoughts there anyway. We're living close, and that day is upon us. And I got news, if you were in some parts of the world today, you might be thinking you're living in the post-trib type, waiting for the rapture to take place, because there is such great tribulation coming upon them. We in the church are the ecclesia, are the called out. That's what the word means. We're the church. We use the church. We think about the church. That's that building down on the street that has four walls. This one happens to have metal walls. They get kind of noisy sometimes. And sometimes they're real pretty on the outside, and sometimes they're not so pretty on the outside. But it's not that building is the church. It's the place where maybe we gather together to worship. But the church, the ecclesia, is the called out ones. That's the ones who have been called out by God and are following Jesus Christ. The ecclesia. We can have our denominational differences as to how we conduct our business or how the order of our service and some other things should go. And some of these differences, I imagine, sometimes gives God a pretty good laugh as to what we sometimes differ over and what we split hairs over. And I know to some people it comes down to how long your hair is or how short it is. In some cases, whether you part it down the middle like Larry's parting his right now, or whether you part it on the side, or whether you have no hair. Some, whether you got a beard if you're a man or not, can make a difference. Some of those things God doesn't care about. I got news for you. God doesn't care how you comb your hair. God doesn't care, men, if you got a beard. People in the New Testament had beards. He must like beards. And for those of us that don't have beards, that's okay with him too. Well, we fight about some, and I say use the word fight. Yeah, we sometimes fight about some of these things. We can differ on some of these things. But there are some things that we cannot. We cannot differ on the validity of His written word. And if it says it in here, in His written word, then we better stick to it. If it says it's right, we better believe it's right. And if it says it's wrong, we better believe it's wrong. You say, well, that doesn't give a lot of room in some cases. No, it doesn't. Some things are in black and white. I mean, there is no gray area to it. We can't differ on the validity of what's in the Word of God. Well, let's just look a few things about what people say. Here's what Islam has to say about Yeshua. They say he was a prophet. They also say that he was born of a virgin. Although I understand that some people in the Islamic faith disagree a little bit on the interpretation there. Well, that sounds like what's in the Bible. But they also say that he is not the Son of God. And here's what the Quran says. He is Allah, one, the self-sufficient master. He neither eats or drinks, in whom all the creatures need. He begets not, nor was he begotten. And there is none co-equal or comparable unto him. And that's Quran 112, verses 1 through 3. Another place it says, they say the most gracious has betaken a son. Indeed, you have put forth a thing most monstrous. at it in the skies are about to burst, the earth split asunder, and the mountains fall down in utter ruin. And they that attribute a son to the Most Gracious, for it is not consonant with the majesty of the Most Gracious that he should beget a son. Again, the Quran 5:88-92. That's what the Quran says. They said, God has no son. Jesus was a prophet. He was a good man, but he is not the Son of God. Well, here's what Yeshua, Jesus, had to say about himself. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 9 is what you need to read, but just for time's sake, we're going to read just verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And in Luke 22, verses 67 through 70, he says, and they're questioning him here when they've got him on trial here. And they say, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they said unto And then they all said, all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. They confessed that he was the Son of God. Here's what Satan has to say about Yeshua. Matthew 28, chapter 8, verses 28 through 29. And when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? The demons, the minions of Satan, cried out, thou art the Son of God. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. Here's what the disciples had to say in Matthew 14:33. And here's when they were in the ship on the lake and it was about to sink. It says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what Yahweh God himself had to say. Luke 3:22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. God himself said that Jesus was his Son. You can't get it from any higher authority than that. Yahweh God said, this is my Son. Now if you're reading something that don't agree with that, you're apostate. Or if you don't believe it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's an apostasy going around. That falling away is taking place. And many of us here in America probably never thought we'd see the day that the church would stand up and deny that Jesus was the Christ. That the church would stand up and bring other false doctrines into the church and try to make them coexist side by side. But I've got news for you folks. Anytime you try to do it, whether it's you putting the Quran alongside the Bible and treating them as equal, or whether you're doing something else, if you try to bring something in that's not in God's Word and enter it into the service and into the worship of God, you're in danger of falling into apostasy. It's time we in the church stand up and preach what the Word of God has to say. And no, it doesn't necessarily make you a popular preacher. It doesn't necessarily fill the pews. But I've got news for you. When you stand up and you preach that Word of God, then I believe when you have done all you can do to forward the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand up and give testimony for Him, that when that day comes that you stand before Him, He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that's what I want to hear anyway. I don't care what man has to say about me. If I listened to what man had to say about me, I'd have quit this stuff a long time ago. Because there's a few folks who have not had some nice things to say about me. But I want to care what God has to say about me. Here's what Yeshua says to you. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 20 through 22, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Now let's stop just a moment, back up. We just read a scripture here a few verses back in John chapter 10, verse 9, where he says, "I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth," so on. Here he says, "I stand at the door." He's standing at our heart's door. He's knocking at our heart's door. He says, "If you hear my voice and you open the door and you let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne." What's he saying here? He's saying right now he's seated in a throne alongside his Father. But if we come into him, he's going to give us the ability, the power to sit down in the throne alongside him. It's what he says. It's in his word. "Grant to sit with me at my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." But are our ears open today? Is the church really listening to what Jesus has to say to the church today? Are you listening to what the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart today? Or are you listening to what man has to say? Are you listening to the gospel of political correctness that says you've got to do this and so to be politically correct? You can be politically correct and be politically correct all the way to the depths of hell. Political correctness will never get you into heaven, but it will get you into hell. The Word of God is not always politically correct. It's because there's a line drawn between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And you've got to make a choice. Which side are you going to be on? Which side of that line are you going to be on? I read to you here some scriptures about what other folks have to say about Jesus. The big question is, what do you say about Jesus? What do you say about Jesus? That's what counts for you. What do you say about Jesus? Do you believe he is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God? Do you believe that he can save you from your sin? Yes. Do you believe that he is the only way to heaven?
Yes.
There are some folks out there that think they can get themselves blown up and they can achieve paradise and a few other things that go along with it. I got news from the Bible never says anything about a paradise like that. But it does talk about the wonders of being in God's kingdom and what the riches that are in store for those that are born again Christians, those that are called by his name. Unfortunately, we're living in a day when those who use the name Christian, so many of them are using it in name only, and it's not in their heart and there's no relationship there. The apostate church. We're living in that time of apostasy. But what do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? What's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And for those that are listening to me outside these walls today, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he dwelling in your heart? Have you invited him in? As he stood at the door and knocked and you've opened the door and said, come on in, Jesus, come and live with me. Or have you ignored that knocking? Have you ignored it and say, oh, it's just somebody I don't want to deal with knocking at my door and I'll ignore it. You know, like we do sometimes on the telephone. We know about the time all the telemarketers call and we ignore the telephone when it rings. There's a lot of people out there ignoring Jesus knocking at their heart's door and saying, it's not something I need right now, maybe at another time. I've got news for you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of this afternoon. If he's knocking at your door, it's time to open that heart's door and let him in and say, Jesus, come into my heart. There's a children's song, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my, I can't remember all the words right now, but it says something about come in to stay and come in today. It's time that we let Jesus come into our heart. And if you're listening to me and Jesus is not into your heart, take that time right now and let him come into your heart. Welcome him in. Let him become your Lord and Savior. And Father, right now, for those that are making a decision to let Jesus into their heart, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts right now. And Father, that they would invite Jesus into their heart. And Father, that they would accept him today as their Lord and Savior. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise.